Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
What's up, everyone, and welcome back to the seventh episode of From the Lions Cove Podcast. I'm your host, Marcelo. Today we have a special guest, my man, Evan Anderson.
What's going on, baby? How are we doing?
Dude, pleasure to have you on the podcast, brother.
Thank you for having me, man. It's been a long time coming. Glad that I'm the lucky number seven.
Yeah, I remember when I first started this, I was texting people like, hey, any athletes that are interested in joining, send me a message. Evan was one of the first people to send me a message. So,
Gotta support.
Glad to have him on the pod today. To kind of give Evan a little recap. So I met Evan here at John Carroll University, and you know he's done swimming and diving here as well as played rugby. Some of his times for swimming, he did the 50-yard freestyle, which was 33.81 seconds during the Ohio Athletic Conference, and then the 1 meter dive, which was six dives, he scored 114 in this event. Personally, I don't know anything about swimming, so I can't wait to learn about it, and that's why I have Evan here to kind of teach me about it. Yes, so, let's just, you know, get into these questions.
Facts. So, those scores, first of all, aren't very good, so I got to establish that. I'm not a solidified diver or swimmer. It was more like a one-time wonder kind of thing.
Yeah.
So, for those of the people out there who swim, I'm aware that's a bad time. So, I just want to establish that first. So, it was a good time, though. It was a great experience. I tried something new, and we got really into it.
Yeah.
And it was unique. I mean, I'm sure you played, you know, basketball, baseball, the fun sports, but this was more like flipping and like jumping up, and it was not my thing. But we did it though.
Hey, so. Well, listen, I can't wait to hear about it.
Yes, sir.
So, what sports did you play when you were younger, and were there any that you were passionate about?
Yeah, I mean, I think I did a little bit of everything. To be honest, I played soccer, baseball, basketball, football. I did track for a little bit as well when I could. Volleyball on the side, you know, like a club team, like friends and stuff. But other than that, that's pretty much about it. Picked up golf at one point, but obviously we're not the greatest with that. So honestly, that's all I picked up, and I was really passionate about basketball at one point. It's kind of what drove me, like what I wanted to play in, you know, high school and everything, and which I did, which was nice. But I loved baseball at one point. Kind of just fell out, you know, of the game.
Yeah,
'cause I loved basketball a lot more. So. Kind of what was the first love, basketball. So
yeah, so like you said, you played golf when you were little.
Yeah.
So, I mean, have you gotten better like since you were a
honestly,
kid?
Honestly, probably not.
Really?
So, I mean, so I would play like just go with my grandma, you know, type stuff, and go to the course, swing the club. Probably didn't count my score all the time, but we worked on my game. Had a couple lessons, right?
Right.
So I was hitting the ball straight. It was going well, but that's something you need to play all the time. So like obviously, once I started hitting. Middle school, high school, I was more, you know, dialed in, I'd say, with basketball and everything. So I didn't practice as much, and then the game went down. So,
listen, though, once, like, we start working, then we could actually play golf more. And,
exactly.
You know, I'm sure on, like, business trips and, like, all that.
Exactly, man. We'd get a little golf trip going, have a good time, have some beer, you know, forget about the score. It'd be a good time.
Yeah. I mean, like, listen. I just don't write my score. Like, I think the one time that I did, I got, like, a 114.
I think that's good.
On, like, 18.
I think that's good.
Dude, it was horrible.
I mean, hey, you told everybody about it, so, you know.
Yeah.
You gotta be proud of that.
So, hey, true.
You know.
So, did you play any other sports throughout your time in high school? And, like, how did it feel transitioning from playing them as a kid to kind of at the high school level?
Yeah, that's a good question. So, I played soccer in the fall, and then I rotated into basketball, and then I did a little track and baseball. One year was track, the other one was baseball the next year. And then my senior year, I wanted to do golf, but COVID, you know, kind of hit, so it wasn't the same. But I'd say the biggest difference was just being competitive. And, you know, you actually have to earn your spot now, right? Like, as a kid, everyone gets the trophy. Right. You have a good time. But there comes a point where, you know, you're always told, oh, when you get to varsity, man, it's going to be different. You get to varsity, you got to work for your spot. So I think that was the biggest difference, you know, from childhood sports to high school, for sure.
Wow.
Yeah.
And then you mentioned that you played basketball with a very talented team. Like, I remember when I first met you, like, this is one of the first things that that you were telling me. So who were some of, like, those standout players? And how did playing with such skilled athletes make you a better player?
Yeah, so, I mean, we had a good team, I think, for where I was from. I think we won the league both years, if I'm not mistaken. We had Damari Jones, Elijah Rojas, Dante Garland was up there. I mean, these guys were just – knew how to play basketball, right? They're always playing pickup, but it transitioned very well onto the court. They could jump. I think they're bigger than everybody else, too, which definitely helped them. But playing with these competitive athletes helped me in, like, a lot of ways. It showed, you know, I had to, like, put my all into something, right?
Yeah.
I couldn't just walk on and be like, okay, pass me the ball. Let me try to score. I get locked down pretty easily. So I had some friends try that. They didn't make the team, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think you just got to give it your all and actually put effort in. That's kind of what it taught me, to be honest. And, you know, these athletes who are better, I had to work to be at their level. That's kind of what got me there, which was nice.
Wow. So, obviously, you're from, like, the Buffalo area, right?
Yes, sir.
So, talk about, like, the talent level of, like, basketball. Like, because, like, I'm born and raised in Cleveland. All I really know is Cleveland basketball. I know some Columbus and, like, you know, some of that. But, like, what's it like in, like, New York?
Yeah, so it's a little different. I'm from, like, Western New York, Buffalo area, right? Thankfully, I was in the bigger division, the school. We were in double A. So that was, like, the schools with, you know, thousands of kids in there rather than 30 a class, 40. I think I had 400 kids in my graduating class, which isn't overly big, but it's big enough. We're in a big division. So it was very competitive, I'd say, at a local level. Then we'd drive about 2 hours for every game.
Really?
Because we played the bigger schools who were farther away in, like, deeper Buffalo. So, I don't know, man. It was very competitive, I would say, for most of the time. If you play, like, a local team, we kind of beat them, typically, because we were the best local team, per se.
Yeah.
But it was very competitive. Football was competitive as well. Obviously, New York's not the same as, you know, Texas, even Ohio for certain things, because we can't go, you know, all year round. So I think that kind of affected some stuff.
Right.
But we had a lot of competition, a lot of good athletes, especially for the area, I'd say, at least. So.
Wow. So, like, those players that you played with, did they go on to any, like, big colleges?
Yeah. So, I mean, between basketball and football, I think there's a couple of guys who got D1, like, offers, I think, for football. But they, you know, pursued D2. So Mercyhurst University.
Yeah, yeah.
So I have a couple friends who played there, wide receiver and running back. And then basketball, I think a couple guys went D3 and D2, but they kind of just didn't like the college aspect and, you know, came back home and hooped at the community college. So,
yeah.
I mean, the opportunity was there, obviously. We had one guy actually go to Alabama.
Wow.
Yeah. So
For basketball.
And he went to, I think, Wichita State after, which is pretty cool. But he was a couple years older than me. So, I mean, we had some athletes. Actually, there's one on the Cleveland Browns, Steven Carlson. He's like a tight end. So he was probably 4 or 5 years older than me, but he's on the team, and, you know, that's kind of what happened. So it's pretty cool, actually. So we got a couple guys from the hometown making it big, so, which is nice.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, like, listen, you try a lot of new things.
Yeah.
So how did you end up choosing John Carroll University, and what led you to walk on to the swim team?
Wow. Well, honestly, COVID started, right? So I was at community college, you know, rent-free, cheap. Okay. I was just kind of getting my classes in, right? The basics. Yeah. Why not do it there when I would be just stuck in a dorm here? At least that's what I thought, right?
Yeah.
You know, I knew I wanted to get into business, so I was looking for a business school. I wanted to get out of Buffalo, right? So, but I didn't want to go too far, right? Like, I didn't want to go out of Florida where I can't go back home. So it kind of just led me look into Ohio, and I have a couple friends that were at John Carroll, fortunately enough. They recommended it, came, checked it out, stayed the night a couple times, and just fell in love with the campus, and that's kind of how we ended up here. But being a transfer student, though,
yeah.
I knew I wanted to meet people, but I wasn't sure on how to do that, right?
Yeah.
And I think sports gives you that opportunity. And that's kind of really why I joined the dive and swim team. However, I had friends on the team already. So it made it kind of easy, like the transition. Yeah. And I was like, well, let's try something new. Obviously, I do a lot of things, and let's give it a shot. At first, I thought it was kind of funny. My parents didn't believe me, believe it or not. They're like the club diving team. We're just doing it for fun. I was like, no, Mom. Like, the real team. They're like, what, really? So
no
I had to send like pictures and videos for them to actually believe me. But that's kind of how I ended up on the team and just went from there. So, yeah, it was a lot of fun. So,
well, listen, I mean, props to you, because being like a like walk-on, like just like showing up, like, you know, the team's already kind of like established, but like, you know, you're also like fighting for like a spot.
Right.
Like, I mean, and to even make the team, like, that's a huge accomplishment. Going from transfer student to, you know, like, you know, coming to a new school, new environment away from home, and then joining a team. I mean, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
You should definitely be proud of yourself for that.
Thank you. It was, first it was laughable, but, you know, we made the team and we were diving, we're in the meets, so
yeah,
like, you can't laugh too much after that. So.
Yeah, and like plus, like, you know, like doing it like for fun, like you're not like, all right, like I'm gonna come in, I'm gonna take it so serious, like you did it because, you know, you're like, hey, let me try yeah. something new, and it ended up working out for you.
Exactly, and I like being in the pool, so that helped. But after being in the pool every day, your skin gets a little dry, so that's what I didn't like about it. I'll be honest. But,
wow,
but it was fun.
See, I haven't been swimming in like forever. Like that's like the one thing that like. I wish Ohio was kind of nicer, just, like, even, like, at times like this, because it's, like, man, I would just love to go swimming right now.
Right.
Now, obviously, like, there's, like, the open swim and stuff, but
it's not the same.
It's not the same as being outside. You know? Yeah.
Exactly. So, yeah, being from Buffalo and then being in Cleveland, the weather doesn't really permit it, I'd say,
yeah.
around this time, unfortunately. But
I know.
Yeah, man.
So, what is a typical day in the life of a D3 swimmer?
Wow. So, I mean, my practices were a little different from a swimmer since I was the diver. I know the swimmers wake up, you know, 5, 6 a.m. practice for 2 hours with lift after. I'm really dedicated to the sport. Fortunately enough, being a diver, on the other hand, you know, you spend a little less time in the pool. So, honestly, I know it's changed a little bit, but you had about, I'd say, in a 2 to 3 hour window twice a day to come in and practice. For about an hour, to be honest. So I'd come after class, you know, change, get on the board. You'd warm up with some jumps, some just basic fall-ins, and then you'd work on 2-3 dives for the day, whatever you were, you know, moving on to, because you need 6 dives to compete in 11 and other meets as well. So you'd start with the basics and then mechanicals and, you know, start getting more complex. So that would say that's the basic day of a diver.
Yeah.
And then Saturdays you would have a meet or a practice, depending on, you know, what was happening. So,
wow. And then like on top of that, you have to balance like school and all that. And I'm assuming you had like team meetings and like team dinners and stuff.
So there was a couple team dinners you'd go to, you know, at someone's house. It was always fun. You do fundraisers, obviously. The Day of Giving, obviously at John Carroll, that's big. So we did that a couple times. But yeah, I mean, it wasn't overly time committing, you know, which was nice, but it was enough where it was like, okay, I'm part of a team, a real team, you know, it's not just like a club sport per se. But I enjoyed every bit of it. I think my back got cut up a couple times from hitting the water the wrong way or falling off the board, but it was a trial and error, and now we're here, so got the experience.
Right. Good. So how intense were like these like swim or like diving meets?
Man.
And how did you manage to stay calm before diving in the pool, especially from all, like, high up?
Right.
I'm sure there's people there.
Yeah.
People watching you, people from other teams watching you.
I mean, that's a good question. So, honestly, I was never really at a swim meet before I came here.
Yeah.
Maybe, like, once in high school, but that's high school, right?
Yeah.
So, I didn't really know what to expect. And let me tell you, man, it's electric, dude. So, you got 30, 40 people on the team. You got another team there. And you got, you know, parents in the stands. And they're very dedicated, I'd say, as parents for, like, a sport.
Yeah.
You know, I know parents that are very into, like, their sons and daughters, basketball games, football, whatever the sport is. But swim parents, man, they travel. They were there with signs and everything.
Wow.
So it was electric. You start off with a chant before the blood gets going. So it was exciting. And everyone's on the side basically watching everyone swim.
Yeah.
It's your turn, you step up. You got people hyping you up and clapping, especially if you win. I think there's a clap they do here when you win your meet. You do something like, you know, I won't do it now because I got the bike, but it's pretty cool. So it's electric, and obviously it's, you know, it echoes kind of. So it's pretty loud. So that was always exciting. And then when you dive, it's got to get locked in, right? You know, yeah. I did it for fun, but people would watch you in the well. So it's just you. It's not five guys in different lanes, you know, going back and forth. It's, okay, this guy's walking down the board. He's going to jump. Everyone's watching you. So kind of got to zone out, man. Just look straight ahead like this and just lock in, to be honest. But it was good. It was a good time, and surprisingly, I did it. So
yeah. So like when you would like, or I guess dive.
Yeah.
Would you do like flips, or would you do kind of like a straight dive, or
a little bit of everything, man? So
really,
obviously, like I said, I'm not the greatest diver. I don't think my body is meant to be a diver. You know, rotating and everything, but. You would have like a front dive, just a normal one. You'd pop up and go right in the water. You do a front flip.
Wow.
So that was something to try. Then you do like a back flip, a twist inwards, so you're jumping into the board almost. So it's kind of scary at times, to be honest. You just got to trust yourself, your body, and the board, because the board naturally pushes you out. So ideally, you'd like to jump straight up and you still go out. So it was pretty cool. But
like the one thing that always like shocks me, like during the, like, I guess like when I'm watching like the Olympics,
right,
is how like the board like barely like moves.
Yeah.
So like is it pretty like wobbly like when you're out there?
So actually there's like a wheel you can move on the side to make it more wobbly or
really?
More, you know, I guess up and down per se, or you can make it more stiff. I was someone who liked it more stiff because I didn't have great balance. But you would see some of these dudes come in, turn it so it can just bend. And they would literally, when they jump, the board would touch the water as they're, like, taking off. So, like, it was honestly crazy if you ask me. So, but, yeah, so you can have it stiff. You can have it wobbly, kind of whatever your preference was.
Okay.
Obviously, me and myself can't really jump. So I think it was best it was more stiff. It helped me out a little more. So
wow.
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, is doing a front flip, like, in the air, like, you have plenty of time to, like react. Is it easier? Because, like, I mean, I just can't do a flip at all. Like, I can't. Even if I tried, probably couldn't.
So, funny enough, you asked that question. I actually couldn't flip on land ever in my life.
Yeah.
So, you know, you could do, like, a somersault, but I've never done, like, a front flip. So, it was, like, a process of learning how to do it, and... You basically got to swing your arms and just got to rotate. So if you're good and you do gymnastics or have the past of flipping, I would say it would be easy.
Yeah.
But for me, it was a struggle at first, but it's based on how high you go, right? If you go high up, you're going to have plenty of time to rotate. You'll be just fine. But if you kind of just jump out, you're kind of going into the water, right? So it's a little different. So it's all relative to how high you would jump and if you jumped out or straight up, basically. So
wow.
Yeah.
See, swimming, I have no clue. I don't know, you know, times. I mean, like, I know, like, the smaller, like, the time,
right,
the better.
Right.
But, like, you know, that's like pretty much it. So, you know, I'm glad that, you know, you've provided me with some insight on it.
Yes, sir. Always, man. I'm always happy to. And going back to that time you mentioned in the beginning, that 33, dude, that's terrible. I want to establish that. So it was more like for fun.
Yeah.
And that's probably double what most people do. I recall I was at the wall and then coming back.
Yeah.
I literally just stopped and was hanging onto the wall. And
no way.
Everyone's finishing. I'm like, oh no, I got to finish.
Wow.
So it was a struggle, but it was a good time.
Hey.
So, yeah.
Hey, listen, I mean, as long as you had fun with it,
it's all that matters.
And plus you have a great memory to look back on
too. Exactly. Some photos too. And it was a good time.
So, yeah. So do you have any pregame rituals or superstitions that you follow to get in the zone?
Wow. For swimming or just in general?
You know, let's go in general.
In general.
And then actually do one in general, do one swimming.
All right, say less. So I think in general, like, I would just play music, right? I mean, I'm a Drake and, like, Lil Baby fan, Durkio. So I would lock in, put those boys on, and just kind of jam and get myself just pumped for – whatever the sport may be. You know, I'll go to the bathroom before the game, you know, the pregame dookie, right? You know? So I dropped that one. So every athlete knows about that.
Yeah, for sure.
Some truth right there. But I think for swimming and diving, I kind of just go in the corner and zone in, like lock in. I couldn't be, you know, people couldn't be talking to me. I think that was something that was different for that. Kind of want to focus up. And when it was my time, I was ready to go. And then after I talked to people, obviously. But that was the difference in, like, other sports. I would, like, talk to people before the game, you know, have some fun. But yeah. I think swimming kind of locked a little bit, dialed in a little bit more, to say the least.
So, wow.
Yeah, so.
But is Drake one?
Drake's one. Yeah. He's a go. You got to, you know, he's versatile. You know, people are canceling Drake here and there, but you're still listening to his music, dog.
Yeah.
Know? Every time you go out to the farm, not the farm, but just
the
downtown.
The farm, no chance.
Yeah, but just downtown, you're going to hear Drake. So.
Yeah, and plus, you know, Drake, for example, I think he's like the most streamed rapper on Spotify.
Yeah. No, 100%.
I think he's had like a streak
forever.
So, hey, yeah. And Drake just puts out like the best music. Even like listening to it as like a kid.
Yeah, you're in the vibe, man. It's jamming. Hopefully, Drake, you're gonna watch this podcast.
Yeah,
I'm shouting you out right now, bro. OVO.
Yeah, hopefully so. Drake is watching this. I'm praying.
I think he is.
Hopefully. But so. How was transitioning from swimming to rugby? Obviously, you did swimming your junior year.
Yeah.
And then now you're playing rugby.
Yeah, well, you caught me there, man. So it was a little different. I enjoyed the swimming, but I just knew it wasn't for me at the end of the day.
Yeah.
My lower back started to hurt from all the flips, and I was like, yeah, it's just not my sport. Actually, I went to Don, the trainer, and
okay.
He was like, dude, you're not flexible at all.
Wow.
Yeah, you're going to be screwed when you're older. I was like, appreciate it, boss. So I knew right then and there, get out, you know.
Yeah.
Finish the season off strong, but just not for me. And, you know, I just always like playing, you know, Thanksgiving tackle football, right?
Yeah.
You know, and rugby is, that's what I thought it was, and that's kind of what it is, right?
Yeah.
Just wear a mouth guard and go hit people, bro. If you get the ball, go. And if you see someone with the ball, hit them. That's the best way to put it. So
wow.
That's kind of why I transitioned over to it. Because I like the running part, the physicality. You know, it's more ground and pound, like actual football.
Yeah.
Not just jumping in the well. And I think that's something I missed. And they're a good team, right? So it was kind of fun meeting these new guys, playing with them. Had a great season. I enjoyed every bit of it. And I'd honestly recommend you play as well, Marcelo.
No chance, bro.
How come?
Come on.
Look at you, man. You're ox, dude.
Yeah, but like you know, I'm like long, but man, I can't tackle anyone.
You're not going to have to. You're going to get the ball and go by everybody.
Well, yeah. I mean, like I could get the ball. Like, listen, like, I played football for, like 3 years.
All right.
I think, in total, I've had, like, 4 carries for positive yards. But it's been, like, 1 yard, 7 yards, like.
Right, but it's so positive, though, right?
Yeah. Like, listen, it is, but, you know, I can't get hurt for basketball, though.
That's fair.
Still got to win an IM championship, bro.
I'm right there with you, man. We're going to do it this year. But rugby actually is after that, so I'm just going to throw that out there. You can win the IM chip and then, you know,
maybe
come play some rugby. So we'll talk about it later.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
So
what inspired you to try something so different from your past sport?
Wow, man, I honestly don't know. I just saw a couple guys I knew on the team. They're like, hey, man, you know, come over, give it a try. I was like, why not, right? I live by this motto, be a yes man.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you have an opportunity to do something new and there's really nothing holding you back, why not do it, right?
Because
I'm never going to play rugby again as soon as I graduate,
never.
Right? You know, so why not say yes now? You know, what would I be doing from 4 to 6 anyways? Doing homework? Like, I can do that later, right?
Yeah.
You're not even do it anyways.
Yeah.
So I think that's kind of what made me want to do it. I said, why not? And I knew I would regret not trying it at least in the future. So it's kind of what led me to do it. I thought it was cool, and I didn't really understand it, but I was like, oh, I at least like to learn, right?
Yeah.
You know, if I watch it on TV, I'm like, why are they throwing it backwards? But now I know. So,
yeah.
Right? So that's kind of what led me to rugby, and it just kind of worked out in my favor, which is awesome.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, obviously we played in, like, some turkey bowls and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Would you say rugby is essentially the same thing as a turkey bowl? Because you're hitting with no pads, like, going right at the other team, like
yes, sir. I'd say so. It's slightly more organized, I'd say, but at the end of the day, it's like that. You put a mouth guard on and that's it, man. Get out there, hit some people. And it's pretty cool because there's no like blocking. So this big dude can't come out of nowhere and just kill you, right?
Yeah.
That's not how it works. So that's kind of what it's like. And I'd say it's relatable to like a turkey bowl for sure.
Wow.
Yeah.
So what would you say is the hardest part about swimming and the hardest part about rugby?
Wow. Good question. So I'll start with rugby because I just, yeah, you know, started, you know, 2 days ago and played. I'd say the hardest part about rugby would be the mental aspect of, you know, committing your body and putting it on the line.
Yeah.
You know, if you're going to half-ass something in rugby, you're going to get hurt, right? That's the weird part. If you see a big guy coming at you, you're going to want to, like, shy away. But if you do that, that's how you get hurt. I think committing, you know, having that mentality, like, oh, I'm going to go hit him and I'm going to be the one to win, I think that's the hardest part. Because I've seen people not have that, and that's where they get hurt, mess up, and they, you know, just screw up and get out of the game. So I think having the mentality of, you know, full speed at all times, I think that's probably the hardest part for people to digest about rugby for sure. At least of what I've seen, you know.
Yeah.
You know, and then swimming, man, I think being scared to fail, I think that's probably the hardest part. Because when you mess up on a dive, which happens all the time, right? Yeah. You're hitting your back flat on the water, right? So it's bam, and your back's red. You're not feeling good. You're like, do I really want to do it? Do it again. Happens again. And you're just like, you want to say you can't. But eventually you get it. But I think that's probably the hardest part is just, you know, actually getting the dive.
Yeah. And almost like, it almost seems like in like both sports, like you're putting your body on like the line no matter what.
Literally, right? You know, I mean, you could say that about almost every sport.
Obviously. Yeah, true.
right. You know, every sport has its physicality for sure. But diving, if you don't, you know, come out of your tuck, your flip at the right time, your, you know, back hit in the water, it's not the funnest thing in the world. And obviously rugby, you can get hurt pretty easily if you're not doing the things the right way.
Yeah.
If you're leading with your head, probably get concussed, right? You know,
yeah.
So it's just know where you're at, just be safe and do the sport the right way. I'd say it's the biggest takeaway for both of those things, for sure.
Wow.
Yeah.
So overall, what's the biggest lesson you've learned from competing in basketball, swimming, and rugby? And how has that impacted your life beyond sports?
Wow, that's a good question. Biggest lesson, I'd say give it your all, right? Like if you're going to do something, don't half-ass it. Like you're going to look lazy. People are going to look better than you. Probably won't enjoy it as much. But give it your all. You know, if you're going to do something, you want to finish it through as well. I think that's something I learned. I learned that from my dad. Like I started swim, right, and dive. You know, at first I'm like, oh, after a month. Wasn't sure about it, right? But I told myself, let's finish it through and look what happened, right? I had fun, met more people, had a great time. And same with rugby. You know, you get the bumps, the bruises. I'm like, dude, finish it through, man. That's what we did, and there's no regret with that. And honestly, I took that to school, work, whatever job, project I pick up, finish it through. I think that's the biggest thing I've taken away from every sport I've played is, you know, give it your all and see the progress you make and really just finish it. Don't quit. So
yeah,
that's in life too. So
dude, for real, you just got to keep on going, especially when it gets hard or, you know, if you don't want to do something, hey, still just give it like your best, try your best. And that's really all you could do.
Right. And I mean, and after that, you'll feel better about yourself and you'll look back and be like, wow, like I didn't want to do this and I went through it. Right. And here I am. What happened? Only good stuff pretty much. Right.
Right.
So, that I think that's the best piece of advice I could give. And I got from this, sports.
Yeah. So. Hey, well, we have an intramural basketball championship to win, both in co-ed and in rec. So, you know, hopefully we can do that.
Oh, we will do that. You know,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? A little Shaq and Kobe action, Wade, Bron. Obviously, you're Bron, though, the GOAT, you know.
Dang.
Pour honey on him. But,
Yeah. He has, like, that new, like, Hennessy bottle, right?
Or
something?
Yeah, I saw someone have it 2 weeks ago. I had a little sip, you know.
Really?
Yeah, I felt like I could score 40,000 points.
Oh, my gosh.
But, no, I'm excited for this chip coming.
Yeah.
I get the T-shirt for sure. No way around it. So
yeah.
We're
real.
We're lit. I need another 60 bomb for you, though. So,
maybe. Maybe. I don't know if I still have it in me, but, you know, later tonight, I might have to go get some shots up or go practice, like, some free throws or something. Yeah.
Shooting, you know.
Yeah, even if it's for, like, 10 minutes, 10 to 15.
Yeah.
It's all right. Got to get back in, like, the groove.
Got to get at it, man.
Yeah, got to get all that rust off.
Yes, sir.
So this is the quote of the episode for those that don't know. Quote of the episode is where I give you a quote. You just talk about what it means to you.
Okay.
And then you say a quote that you live by every single day.
Wow. Okay.
So, obviously, Evan, huge Bills fan.
Yes, sir.
Loves Josh Allen. Loves the squad. So, Josh Allen said, "If you didn't want to believe in me, that's okay, because I'll make a believer out of you."
I like that.
So, what does that mean to you?
I mean, hey, that means he believes in himself, right? I think that's huge for every sport in life. You gotta believe in yourself and can't listen to the haters, man. Block them out, right? And
yeah.
Once you make it to the top, they're gonna believe in you then. But by then, it's too late because you only need yourself at the end of the day, right?
Yeah.
So, and that's exactly what it means, because he was overlooked, to say the least.
Yeah.
And I mean, now look at him. He's the best quarterback in the NFL, and he's gonna win the Super Bowl this year, right? You know, so
hey, maybe pretty good chance.
I think good chance. You know, yeah. I think the Saints got it next year. Fingers crossed.
We're all done this year.
rip, but yeah. So I'd say that's what it kind of means to me.
Yeah.
And honestly, I don't know if I have a quote prepared. I mean, like I said, be a yes man.
Yeah, that's definitely like your quote.
Yeah, live by. You know, and whatever happens in life, you know, keep your chin up, right? Don't let your crown slip, right?
Yeah.
I'll quote that. So yeah, stay positive, right?
Yeah.
Probably the best thing I could say.
So, yeah. Evan, he's definitely a yes man. Definitely loves to do anything, you know, for like, hey, come over, come play some Fortnite. He's like, all right, bet.
We're going to take the Doves,
or,
baby, right?
Yeah. or if he's like, hey, like, well, let's just go hoop. He's like, bet. So Evan is always saying yes to things, trying out new things, and Evan's Yankees are also in the World Series.
Throw it up here for the crowd. You know? I respect the Yanks.
Yeah. I was at Game 3 and Game 5. Game 3, one of the greatest games I've ever seen. Probably one of the greatest games in history,
I would say, yeah.
And me and my boy Dom, shout out Dom, got on MLB TikTok, so that was insane. Couldn't believe that. And then, Game 5, obviously Soto sent you guys to the World Series. I mean, listen, definitely one of the best players in baseball.
Oh, 100%.
I mean, come on.
You know, Cleveland, you know, they did their best. And you got to give them props. Props are due. But big market team, I think, just came in. Too much firepower. And they're going to the series. But it's going to be tough, right? And Dodgers, man, they're a good team.
So I mean, we'll that's going to be a great World Series to watch. I mean, like, even though it pains me because, man, like, I'll never forget when the Knicks won game one of the NBA playoffs. I think it was, like, in 2022 versus the Cavs. And, like, the Knicks fans were just, like, chanting and all of that and, like, kind of, like, heckling us Cavs fans. And we were, like, and we were at home.
That's crazy.
Yeah, so, like, even, like, there was a ton of Yankees fans at like, the games. So, you know, the New York fan base is very strong, man. You guys definitely talk the most trash,
for sure. Bills Mafia's out there. They're very nice, but when it comes to football, you know, the game, they might be a little mean, a little rough.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, they're a good place to be, a good family. So
Go
Bills as well. Got to shout them out. Go Yanks. let's get a dub.
Yeah.
That's where to put it.
Well, that'll do it for this podcast. Evan, thank you again, my man, for joining the podcast.
Appreciate it.
So, you know, Evan, always trying new things, so, you know, always take advantage of the opportunity out there, especially when it presents itself, and, you know, just keep on putting your head down, keep on grinding, and good things will happen. But this was episode 7. Episode 8 will be out next Tuesday. That's with a former coach of mine, Coach Nick Sharia, great coach, and definitely very knowledgeable about the basketball side of sports as well as the mental side. And I'm looking forward to that. So hopefully you are too. Make sure to follow the Instagram FTLC podcast. And Evan will be on there tomorrow. And yeah, make sure you like, share, comment. Truly appreciate it. And we'll see you in the next one.
Yes, sir.
Peace.
Deuces.